It's Wednesday. It's the 20th of October. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the Wednesday CG Report. Worse off than before. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, let's see just how worse off than before we can get today. From Medical Trend, Taiwan death from COVID-19 vaccination exceeds death from COVID-19. On October 7th, the death toll after vaccination in Taiwan reached 852 people, while the death toll after the COVID-19 was diagnosed was 844. The number of deaths after vaccination exceeded the number of confirmed deaths for the first time. According to a notice of adverse events after COVID-19 vaccination issued by Taiwan's health department on March 22nd this year, Taiwan began vaccination. From that day to October 6th, the death toll after vaccination in Taiwan has reached 849. Among them, the death toll after vaccination with AstraZeneca was the largest, resulting in 643. You really don't stand a very good chance if you're getting the AstraZeneca shot, apparently. The death toll after vaccination with Moderna was 183, and the death toll after vaccination with Taiwan's self-produced Medigen vaccine was 22. From The Blaze, Horowitz, the data is in and we are now worse off than before the experimental shots. In October of 2018, the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health published a report that, if one didn't know better, might make readers think the authors were involved in the gain-of-function research that likely created this virus. The report, titled Technologies to Address Global Catastrophic Biological Risks, offers novel social control and mRNA vaccination ideas to deal with emergency pandemics, whether naturally emerging or re-emerging, deliberately created and released, or laboratory engineered and escaped, that could lead to sudden, extraordinary, widespread disaster beyond the collective capability of national and international organizations and the private sector to control. One of the many bone-chilling sections in this publication, which is pages 45 through 47, provides a blueprint for self-spreading vaccines described as vaccines genetically engineered to move through populations in the same way as communicable diseases, but rather than causing disease, they confer protection. After noting that such an idea would violate the rules of informed consent, oh, the irony there, and possibly spread allergic reaction, they add this shocking prediction about the challenge of such technology. Finally, there is not insignificant risk of the vaccine virus reverting to wild-type virulence, as has sometimes occurred with the oral polio vaccine, which is not intended to be fully virulent or transmissible, but which is reverted to become both neurovirulent and transmissible in rare instances. This is both a medical risk and a public perception risk. The possibility of vaccine-induced disease would be a major concern to the public. Whether this vaccine actually sheds the spike protein onto other people is still not yet proven, although Pfizer seems to indicate it can spread through skin-to-skin contact in inhalation. But the principle of mass vaccination with a faulty vaccine making a virus both more transmissible and more virulent is something that is hard to deny at this point. The reality is that more people have died from COVID-19 in 2021, with most adults vaccinated and nearly all seniors, than in 2020 when nobody was vaccinated. Something is not adding up, and perhaps those who have been dabbling in gain-of-function research in recent years have the answer. According to the latest Public Health England report, the only country with granular weekly data, something we'll be bringing up in a few minutes, the COVID-19 case rates are higher per capita among the vaccinated in every age group over 30. Among those in their 40s, the case rate is nearly double among the vaccinated for a vaccine efficacy, at least against infection, of a stunning 86%. Anyone who tells you this is normal and expected is simply lying to you. The bottom line is that cases are spreading quicker, including out of season, post-vaccination. It would be one thing if the virus became more transmissible and less deadly, which is what we typically experience with a natural pandemic. However, the opposite is true. The virus has taken a painful toll on both the vaccinated and unvaccinated over the past few months, a phenomenon that is well explained with a leaky vaccine that fails to sterilize the virus, but causes viral immune escape and a degree of vaccine-mediated enhancement. Huh. Okay, this is from the exposé. They come to some conclusions in this article that, you know, I can't say are correct or not. They come to their conclusions, and what they've done, I'm going to explain this now, and then I'll go through the article. They have taken from the UK government website all of the data, which that other article just talked about, and what they've done is they've gotten the charts, and they've linked them. But the charts that they use are identical, except at the end, they've added in their own percentages. So they are making conclusions based on the charts. So either way, this is a valid article. Are their conclusions valid? I don't know. But when you hear them, if they are valid, I don't think it's time for you to get your vaccine. From the exposé, a comparison of official government reports suggests the fully vaccinated are developing acquired immunodeficiency syndrome. In layman's terms, that's AIDS. The five PHE tables below from their excellent vaccine surveillance report, separated by 4 weeks, clearly show the progressive damage that the vaccines are doing to the immune system's response. People aged 40 to 69 have already lost 40% of their immune system's response. People aged 40 to 69 have already lost 40% of their immune system capability and are losing it progressively at 3.3% to 6.4% per week. Weekly decline in doubly vaccinated immune system performance compared to unvaccinated people, and they give the chart. Everybody over 30 will have lost 100% of their entire immune capability for viruses and certain cancers within 6 months. 30 to 50-year-olds will have lost it by Christmas. These people will then effectively have full-blown acquired immunodeficiency syndrome and destroy the NHS. Acquired immunodeficiency syndrome, in layman's terms, is AIDS, and the NHS is the National Health Service. Now, this is where they've made their estimates based on the percentages that they did off of the government charts. So, I don't want you to panic about this, but you will know if you're 30 to 50 and you have died by Christmas, then you'll know that they were right. If not, then they were wrong, okay? And likewise, if you're a little bit younger and you are dead in 6 months, then you'll know that they were right. And if you're still alive, then they were wrong. But this is their estimates based on these figures that keep coming out week by week from the UK government. The vaccine booster shots have to be the same as the vaccines themselves because it takes forever to do clinical trials and get approval for something different, which is now not the case. They want to mix and match these vaccines here in the United States, but in the UK, apparently they're not doing that. So if you take a booster shot, these figures show that you are giving yourself an even faster progressive form of acquired immunodeficiency syndrome or AIDS after a couple of months of effectiveness. Table 2, COVID-19 cases by vaccination status. And they give the tables. Cases reported by specimen date between week 33 and week 36. The next chart is between week 34 and week 37. The next chart is between week 35 and week 38. And then they have the chart for week 36 through week 39. Pfizer originally claimed a 95% efficiency for their vaccine, calculated as in the last column above. The figures above that indicate their figures may well have been correct immediately after vaccination. The younger age groups have had the vaccine for the shortest amount of time, but the figures above also show that the vaccines do not merely lose efficiency over time down to zero efficiency, they progressively damage the immune system until a negative efficiency is realized. They presently leave anybody over 30 in a worse position than they were before vaccination. And for more, see here, and they provide a link. Just so you know, I do not provide links. If you want links, all you need to do is type in what I tell you is the title of any article. This one was from the Exposé. A comparison of official government reports suggests the fully vaccinated are developing acquired immunodeficiency syndrome. That's all you need to do. Okay, somebody this past week asked if I would put links down in the comments of Rumble and whatever. I'm not going to do that. I don't save links myself, and I'm not going to go saving them to post them on Rumble. Just type in the name of the person doing the article and the name of the article, and it should come up. From Breitbart, 16,000 COVID-19 positive migrants released into the United States by ICE. They have now confirmed this, says a whistleblower. More than 16,000 migrants who tested positive for COVID-19 while in ICE custody were released into the United States, according to an agency law enforcement source. The Biden admin did not mandate any of the migrants to be vaccinated before their release. The figures only include those migrants who were tested by ICE. That means that there are a lot of them that got in that weren't tested by ICE that also were COVID infected. Okay, so the source not authorized to speak to the media says the migrants range from infants to the elderly. A DHS document reports the oldest released migrants were over 85. Nearly 1,300 were under the age of 10. Nearly 12,000 of the migrants who tested positive for COVID-19 and were released into the United States were between 18 and 40 years of age. More than 11,800 were male. Nearly 1,300 were under the age of 10. And more than 6,000 were between 20 and 29 years old. According to the source, the releases occurred in multiple cities across the United States between January 2021 and early October. The totals do not include the thousands of untested migrants released directly by the Border Patrol. The Border Patrol testing of migrants has been limited to unaccompanied migrant children later turned over to the HHS. The source says the positive tests did not factor in the decision to release. With the pace of referrals from the Border Patrol, we tested, made the migrants aware, and released them to avoid increasing the detained population, the source revealed. None of the migrants received the COVID-19 vaccine, either voluntary or forced. This is an agenda to destroy America. This is being perpetrated by the leaders in the United States of America. The president, the vice president, Mayorkas, all of these people should be imprisoned. Every one of them is a criminal. They are not upholding the Constitution of the United States. They are not upholding their sworn duty to the United States. And they should be arrested and they should be imprisoned. But who's going to do it? The FBI? They're in their back pocket. This is something that needs to end. I don't know how it's going to end, but this is criminal activity at the highest levels of the United States government. And we've got more coming. From JTN, DHS border rules, vax required to enter legally from Canada and Mexico. None needed to remain illegally. In lifting restrictions on non-essential travel to the United States from Mexico and Canada this week, the Biden admin announced that foreign travelers attempting to enter the U.S. legally from those nations would need proof of COVID-19 vaccination, even as the admin allows illegal entrance to remain in the United States with or without vaccination, and they let them pour over the borders as well, as you've seen, with COVID, and they get free tickets around the United States of America. The announcement of mandatory vaccination for these legal travelers comes after the admin has released over 1 million illegal aliens into the United States without requiring COVID vaccines as a condition for entry. The admin has also acknowledged that the majority of roughly 15,000 Haitians who arrived illegally in Del Rio, Texas, weren't even tested for COVID before they were released. Under the DHS rules, none of those attempting to enter the United States legally will be allowed entry if they can't show proof of COVID vaccination. Meanwhile, the thousands illegally entering the U.S. on a daily basis by simply walking across the Rio Grande River are to be allowed to remain in the country, with or without vaccine passport. Under a new DHS policy, that being in the U.S. illegally is no longer sufficient grounds for arrest, even though criminal under federal law. What that means is that they are criminals. Federal law says that they must be apprehended, and yet they are being told not to apprehend. And thus, the president, who is the chief law enforcement officer of the United States of America, should be the one that is handcuffed, taken to the prison, and put in prison for not doing his sworn duties. From the Telegraph, vaccinated college senior dies of COVID in Georgia. Sean Kuhn died after battling COVID-19-based pneumonia for nearly 6 weeks. His older sister, Sharla Brooke Kuhn, said that Sean had been fully vaccinated, according to the university's newspaper, The Red and Black. The Georgia DPH reports 63,298 post-vaccination COVID-19 infections and 742 post-vaccination deaths as of October 12th. Now, that's just one state in the United States. They've had 742 post-vaccination deaths. I did the numbers. From 18 December to 15 October is 301 days. That means 2.47 people have died in Georgia every single day since they started these vaccinations, and 210 infections per day. Mail Online. Fully vaccinated Florida father, 58, whose family claim he had no pre-existing conditions, dies of COVID after spending a month in the hospital. From the Gateway Pundit, healthy 16-year-old boy dies during online class after receiving second COVID shot from Pfizer. A 16-year-old boy died while taking his math class on Zoom, reportedly 27 days after taking his second shot of Pfizer vaccine, according to VAERS data released on October 1st of 2021. The entry also indicates that the child had not been diagnosed with any allergies, pre-existing conditions, illnesses, disabilities, or birth defects, and had not been taking any medications prior to his death. Now, I'm not afraid to die. I mean, I just had lunch at 7-Eleven a couple minutes ago, but the last thing on this planet that I would do at this point is do what these people are doing. That would be the last thing that I would do. From Mail Online, fully vaccinated former Secretary of State Colin Powell, 84, dies of COVID. Remember, he's fully vaccinated. From Business Insider, Fauci, Americans who are fully vaccinated can enjoy the holiday season with their family. Well, Colin Powell can't. And guess what? I'm not vaccinated at all, and I will enjoy my holiday dinners with my family. Breitbart, Fauci, people who have conspiracy theories, deny reality, don't particularly care for me. Well, Colin Powell would agree if he could. World Trib, report ivermectin used by 100-plus members of Congress and their staff. More than 100 members of Congress and their staff members have been treated for COVID-19 with ivermectin, a physician reported. Meanwhile, in Australia, Parliament tried to shut down MP Craig Kelly for saying the word ivermectin. All you have to do is say it over there and they go into some type of anaphylactic shock. Mail Online. Get your second J&J dose ASAP, say health experts after FDA advisory committee recommended approval of booster. Protection fell from 88% to just 3% in 6 months, study finds. I'd say that vaccine doesn't work at all. Mail Online. Thanksgiving travel chaos looms as TSA faces vaccine mandate deadline that could force it to fire anyone unvaccinated. Currently, 40% of its workers days before holiday. The roughly 24,000 employees have until November 22nd, the Monday before Thanksgiving, to get the jab under Biden's vaccine mandate for federal workers. In order to meet the deadline, TSA agents will have to get their first Pfizer dose by October 18th or the one-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine by November 8th. Anyone who does not get a shot by November 8th can start to face disciplinary actions under federal guidance that may include temporary suspension or termination. From USNI, new Navy guidance will discharge sailors refusing COVID-19 vaccination without exemption. All active duty Navy personnel must be vaccinated by November 28th or face separation, according to a Navy administrative message. Any active duty Navy service members who do not get fully vaccinated or do not have an approved or pending exemption will be processed for an honorable separation without involuntary separation, according to NAV Admin 225-21. Released by Vice Chief of Naval Operations Admiral William Lesher and Chief of Naval Personnel Vice Admiral John Noel. Service members in the Ready Reserve Navy will need to be fully vaccinated by December 28th in order to meet the deadline. Active duty members must receive their second dose of COVID-19 vaccine if receiving the two-shot Pfizer or Moderna version by November 14th. A person is not fully vaccinated until 14 days after receiving the shot. For members in the reserve, the deadline to receive the second shot is December 14th. Those who are separated for refusing the vaccine will be discharged with no lower than a general discharge under honorable conditions, according to the Navy release. Those refusing vaccine cannot be promoted, advanced, reenlist, or execute orders outside of ones involving separation. Zero Hedge. Biden admin, this may be the worst thing that I have seen yet out of this entire Biden administration. What I'm about to read you is so appalling, it's so disgusting, that I'm not sure where we can go with this. I know that if I was one of the people affected by this, and I had the special skills that I had, I'd be getting all of my other people with the same special skills, and I'd be doing something about it. I won't say any more than that. I'll let them decide, but that's what I would be doing if I was one of these people. Biden admin threatens to make unvaxxed Navy SEALs repay their training costs. I can think of few better ways to ensure that fewer qualified people will apply to join the nation's most elite fighting unit than the policy just announced by the U.S. Navy's COVID Consolidated Disposition Authority. It has issued a directive that threatens removing them from special warfare, reducing their salaries, and forcing them to repay training. Now imagine that. You want to be a SEAL and you'd go through this because you don't know what's coming down the pike next. Okay. Who would want to be a Navy SEAL after this has been released? Anybody? Do you think that this is not an intentional manipulation by the administration of the United States of America to destroy our Navy and especially the elite fighting forces of our Navy? These people do not want this nation to succeed. They have the worst intent for our nation. There's no doubt about it. If I was a Navy SEAL, I know what I'd be doing right now. 7A and 7B, this is their little thing they submitted. The Vice Chief of Naval Operations retains authority for non-judicial punishment and courts-martial. Involuntary extension of enlistments is not authorized on the basis of administrative or disciplinary action for vaccination refusal. The CCDA may seek recoupment of applicable bonuses, special and incentive pays, and the cost of training and educating for service members refusing the vaccine. Since training a SEAL is very expensive, this amounts to financial ruin for the heroes who undergo incredibly harsh training and who offer their lives to protect us. President Trump's Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke, a former SEAL, appropriately criticized the plan on Facebook. Our nation's best don't sign up to be a Navy SEAL to cash in on our training years later. We give a blood oath to fight for freedom and defend the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. Little hint there. In doing so, we bear a burden of emotional, psychological, physical, and family stress of constant deployments and low pay because we love our country. Shame on Biden for not recognizing the service and sacrifice and further insulting SEALs by making this about money. Put aside any consideration of the effectiveness of the vaccines or of the side effects that may take years to become apparent. This escalation of bullying of the bravest and most self-sacrificing among us threatens national security. Trying to bully people like this? Really? Physically fit young adults like the SEALs face a negligible threat from COVID. So why sacrifice the effectiveness of the nation's elite fighting units? Very good question. Why are they doing this? Because they don't want these elite fighting units. They want them destroyed so the commies can come in and take over this nation. The price that is being inflicted on the nation far outweighs any benefit from the vaccines. Newsweek, more than 500,000 healthcare workers quit their jobs in August. 500,000 healthcare workers. Epic Times, Minnesota hospital shuts down ER and urgent care amid nurse strike. Epic Times, Seattle public schools to cut 140 bus routes as vaccine mandate drives staff shortages. From the Western Journal, nurse whistleblower debunks leftist lie that hospitals are out of beds. A former nurse who was reportedly fired after his religious exemption to the COVID-19 vaccine requirement was rejected has shed some rather harsh light on the hysterical claims that ICU beds are at capacity because of all the sick unvaccinated people. Brad McDowell, who was employed as an emergency room nurse at Valley Health System in Winchester, Virginia, explained that the at-capacity status has less to do with unvaccinated patients and more to do with unvaccinated staffers that are being let go for their resistance to hospital, state, and federal mandates. They can't open a bed that they don't have a nurse and a tech to staff. I can tell you that all those beds are not open, and I know that for a fact, McDowell charged, referring to his former place of employment. There are beds closed, and they're saying they're at capacity, but it's not because there's not enough beds, he explained. It's not because of the patient load. It's because of the workforce load. From the Gateway Pundit, NBA player got blood clots from COVID vaccine that ended his season. NBA told him to keep it quiet. His name is Brandon Goodwin. Go look it up. They're telling him, don't say anything. Well, he's saying something. Newsweek, Kyrie Irving won't play practice with the Brooklyn Nets until he's vaccinated, says the GM. I got to tell you, if Brandon Goodwin is the example, I wouldn't get it. Your life is worth a lot more to you than that. ESPN. ESPN reporter Allison Williams quitting over network's vaccine mandate. Gateway Pundit, St. Louis veteran newscaster Kim St. Onge leaves KMOV after 10 years, posts lists of abuses she was forced to endure after being granted religious exemption for the vaccine. They are supposed to reasonably accommodate you if you have religious exemption, and what they did to her was not reasonable accommodation. It is persecution because of her Christian faith. Epic Times. Former Connecticut Teacher of the Year could be fired for refusing vaccine or testing. Better to be alive. Zero Hedge. Australia building quarantine camps for ongoing operations. Despite some states tentatively beginning to lift lockdown restrictions, Australian authorities are building quarantine camps that won't be completed until next year in order to prepare for ongoing operations and to house those who have not had access to vaccination. I wonder who that means. According to ABC Australia, one such 1,000-bed quarantine facility at Wellcamp Airport outside Toowoomba will be fully completed by the end of March 2022. At this stage, the cabins will be used by domestic travelers returning from COVID hotspots. However, it also makes clear that the camp will be used for ongoing operations and will be a source of employment for the local area. The camp is split into different zones and accommodates singles, doubles, and family rooms while being patrolled by police and security guards 24/7. Citing new strains of COVID and people who have not had access to vaccination, Queensland Deputy Premier Stephen Miles told the media outlet, "We anticipate there to be a continuing need for quarantine facilities." The government is leasing the land on which the camp is being built from the Wagner Corporation for 12 months, with an option for a further 12 months after that. Another 1,000-bed quarantine facility is also being built on a 30-hectare army barracks site in the industrial area of Pinkenba near Brisbane Airport. Why anyone who had left Australia would come back again is unclear. It is possibly the most repressive country in the world regarding COVID tyranny. New Zealand also announced plans to place COVID infectees and their family members in quarantine facilities. From the Washington Examiner, Florida fines county $3.5 million after employees fired for not getting COVID-19 vaccine. I'm glad we have the governor that we have. A county in Florida enacted a mandatory vaccination policy and now faces a hefty fine. The Florida Health Department fined Leon County for violating the state's ban on vaccine mandates after the county fired 14 employees for not complying with its policy, Governor Ron DeSantis announced. We must protect the jobs of Floridians and preserve the ability of Floridians to make their own decisions regarding what shots to take, DeSantis wrote. Leon County's administrator, Vincent Long, who ought to be fired, said in a statement with the county's vaccine mandate was not only completely legally justifiable, but it was a necessary and responsible action. He added that the county intends to enforce its rights using available remedies to settle the issue with its vaccine mandate and the state's law against it. Mail Online. Miami private school that charges $30,000 a year orders students who have had COVID vaccine to stay home for 30 days afterwards over fears the vaccinated, will infect unvaccinated students. I'd say at this point that may be a wise decision. We don't want people, you know, shedding their vaccine all over our other children. From the Gateway Pundit, Senator Ron Johnson, there is no point to mandate whatsoever. With COVID vaccine, we've had 16,766 deaths in 10 months. He's getting his information directly from the VAERS website, not from the CDC, which cuts it in half or even more than half. He's getting it from the VAERS website. It's 16,766 deaths from the vaccine. And you take 30 days in a month times 10 months, that's 300 days. And then you take 16,766, divide that by 300 days, and you have 55.88 people, 56 people every single day that we know of. That's all that we know of that have died because of getting the COVID vaccine. I would say that there's a problem out there that needs to be addressed. I don't know how it's going to be addressed. Maybe the Navy SEALs can take care of it, but there is a problem out there that is destroying human life, and it is destroying the United States of America and all of the other countries in the world too, because once they have started down this path, they're going to be too proud to say we were wrong, and they're going to continue to kill people in the process. Now, we'll go ahead and close with something from the book of Romans. Just to cheer you up a little bit, because all of this is bad information. I know, I understand that. And so we'll go to the book of Romans and we'll just read something to kind of put you in a better mood before we close today. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. We are freed from the state of sin because of Jesus Christ, and the law only highlights that state. The law of Moses was given to show people their desperate need for something greater. Jesus Christ, he came to live out that law that you and I cannot live, and then he gave his life up under that law after fulfilling that law so that we could be free from the law to live in the grace of God for all of eternity if we simply believe that Jesus did those things for us. So I would ask you today to call out to God through Jesus Christ, be reconciled to him, and be saved through his precious blood for all eternity. And we will walk on streets of gold that are a lot nicer than what we're looking at in the world right now. A world without this sin, without this infection, without COVID jabs. Come to Christ today. And so from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your Midweek CG Report.